Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we worship you again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We magnify your name, Lord. We adore you, Lord. Thank you for the time of praising the Lord. We know your glory is all over us right now, according to thy word, Lord. Thank you for inhabiting our places. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now reading the few scriptures here tonight. Bless the reading of your word, Father. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we're talking of what is going on in Ukraine, and our brother talking and so on. So type of a dictator that we have out there in another country. Anyway, tonight, Julius Caesar, the traits of a dictator and antichrist. Julius Caesar, the traits of a dictator and an antichrist. Well, Julius Caesar was to become the ancient world's most famous dictator. Though history often pictures him as a star of cumulative brightness in the history of mankind, he sort of a Superman, history thought, but really, the reality is that he is an obvious type of the Antichrist. He was. Caesar worked with many. In those days, Rome was a republic, not an empire, in the day of Julius Caesar. And it has many, many provinces. So, and there are a couple of them who are struggling for power around that time. There was one, he worked with one man called Crassus. That one was the richest man in Rome at that time. It was a real estate tycoon and things like that, you know. The richest man in Rome. Crassus, they call him, and some of that. So Caesar worked with him at that time. And until the death of that man, Crassus, and so on, that, you know. And Caesar also worked with Pompey. And later, he and Pompey came into conflict, as we see down the road, a couple of minutes from here. Know that Pompey was in the ascendry in Rome. Caesar delayed any confrontation initially, you know. And just like the Antichrist will do, Russia, and the Antichrist system at the end of time. Antichrist will get to the Palestine first. But they are all both eye Palestine, right? They all have interest. They want to really dominate the Middle East and the world, really, you know. So Russia will delay its move initially. Anyway, so we see. So, first, Caesar will conquer Gaul and show the people of Rome what a mighty warrior or soldier he was. So, if you are wondering where Gaul is, Gaul was the area comprising the modern-day France and part of Belgium and part of West Germany and northern Italy. That was called Gaul in those days that this man was living and so on. Moreover, Caesar was an accomplished writer and he was able, you know, kind of a genius, an evil genius, you want to call him that, you know. And he was able to describe his exploits in clear, simple style. In fact, it is said that his writings have served as a first reader to many generations of Latin students, you know, for what he wrote and all that, you know. Caesar's words were a series of stark aggressions marked by ruthless brutality. You know, maybe you read this when you think about somebody, put it and so on. Many captives, you know, had their right hands chopped off. Whole tribes were massacred. Vast lands were laid waste, you know, in his campaigns. And many towns and cities were burned to the ground. Men, women, and children were slaughtered without discrimination during his campaigns in Gaul. Sounds like familiar today? What's happening in Ukraine? Another dictator up there, you know. So Caesar posed as a defender against the barbarians. The barbarians were a thorn in the flesh of the Romans in those days and so on. But he be like a he the mighty soldier and so on. So he was a defender against the barbarians, of which Rome had a constant fear at that time. The Romans rejoiced as news of Caesar's victories continue to pour into Rome, you know. Moreover, large numbers of slaves were sent southward as his gift to the nation of Rome. When he conquered a place, he sent them, the people, back to Rome to be slaves right there, you know. You think that Russia did something like that lately? They said the Ukrainians who were forced to go to Russia, they are having to have to work for free. Even right now, for what I was hearing in the news. Anyway, they said that they are the same traits, right? You know, all over the time and so on, you know. Right to the Antichrist system, the same traits. So anyway, so slaves and so on. So why the star of Caesar continued to rise, that of Pompey was just falling. See? Caesar's command was to run out in 49 BC. They appoint them allocation of time and so on. His command was to run out in 49 BC and Pompey, intended to really terminate, not to renew it. He persuaded his Senate not to renew Caesar's command. After much debate though, the Senate told Caesar to lay down his arms by a certain date, or if he refused, he'd be called a public enemy or a state enemy. What will Caesar do? In answer to that, to the demand, Caesar decided to, a bold step he made. He decided to cross the Rubicon. You have heard the term crossing the Rubicon, right? You have heard it's a common statement. It originated from there, you know. So to cross the Rubicon, and he knew what he was doing. Doing that means civil war. That what it really means, you know. So he has only one legion with him at that time, you know, at the time of that crossing of the Rubicon and so on. Like I said, the Rubicon was a shallow river that served as a boundary between Rome and the provinces, you know. That was that Rubicon is a river, tiny river and so on. Shallow river, you know, dividing Rome and the province and so on, that, you know. It was against the law for generals to move out their troops out of the province of assignment into Rome. It was illegal. Yeah, this guy, did it anyway. And, or even to cross to Roman territory with an army was illegal. So he knew he was going to cause a civil war. Anyway, nevertheless, on January 10, 49 BC, Julius Caesar entered Rome territory by crossing the Rubicon with his troops, all contrary to the law of the land. And coming from Gaul, where he conquered and he was a governor, governor of Gaul, that region I told you before, crossed the Rubicon with his troops and so on, that you know, on that date and so forth, that you know. So, of course, like you hear in history, the die was cast. You heard that in the language, the die was cast, right? That what happened, that, you know, right there. And of course, his crossing the Rubicon is considered one of the great divides of history. It is a synonym of irrevocable action or decision. When you say you call it Rubicon, you take an irrevocable decision. That's in modern parlance, you know. Mm-hmm. They are all coming from there. Anyway, Caesar intended that Rome should be ruled by only one man. Instead of all those points, only one man. And who is it? Himself. That's what he said, you know. Himself. Instead of rapidly defending the city, Pompey abandoned the city and ran to the western side of the country where he has his own army and so on, that you know. Caesar, of course, pursued him hard and swallowed up garrison after garrison. See? Although Pompey's army was twice large as Caesar's, Caesar won a decisive victory. Pompey fled to Egypt, but he was apprehended and murdered by one of his own men on September 28th. 48 BC. Thus did Caesar become the sole master of the Roman world. After Pompey was gone. You know? So now, this is like an Antichrist, right? So, like the Antichrist, of whom he is a type, is absolute rule over Rome until he was assassinated, was just 1260 days. Just like the Antichrist, you know. Because we know in the Bible, in Revelation 11:3, Daniel 78 week, divided into two portions of 3.5 years each. 11:3 says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1260 threescore days, clothed in sackcloth. As far as we know, that is the first half of Daniel's 78th week, right? Because the second half is when the attackers come out in full force. So this is the first half of Daniel's 78th week, just before the full reign of the Antichrist. It's in the middle that he goes to the temple and says, I am God. Revelation 12, 6 says this, 5 and 6 and so on. And the woman fled, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So we know, verse 5 says the mantle has been cut off, right? So the first fruit has been raptured, right? That's why this other, you know, the seed of the woman, the rest of them, they flee to the wilderness for 1260 days, which is the second half of the 78th week, when Antichrist is reigning. He reigned the same number of days, 1260 days, in everything type in the Antichrist, you know. Now, Caesar began to act as only a dictator may from that time on. Finally, the doors of the, for example, the doors of the treasury as Rome was locked. You know what he did? He sent smiths, you know, and without compunction, without any fear, without any shame, no regard for anybody, had them break the treasury. And when they break it, he took 15,000 bars of gold and 30,000 bars of silver to continue to finance his plans of further expansion. In this, of course, Caesar again cast the Antichrist. We are told in Daniel 11:43, but he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. See, that's 11:43 of the book of Daniel, right? And over all the precious things. Talking about Julius Caesar, you know, traits of a dictator of the Antichrist. Exactly what Antichrist will do. Power over the treasures of gold and silver happening in history. Caesar went to Alexandria and established the notorious Cleopatra and Alot, notorious woman. It's known in history and so on like that, you know. He took her as his mistress, took her to Alexandria in Egypt, and made her a sovereign, you know, over there in Egypt. He was there with her until that one, was with child. Then he left her there and came back to Rome, you know. So leaving Egypt, he went to Syria and quenched them and just quenched an uprising there. It's a military man, right? The Antichrist will be so a military man, sir. Who can make war with him? But then, who can make war with him, you know? So anyway, so he went to Syria and quenched an uprising in India. He then went to Judea and made a treaty with the Jews. And the war treaty, he exempted them from service and from payment of tribute to Rome. That happened in history. And we know, even by the time of Christ, so the Jews, of course, were already paying tribute again. See, the treaty was broken. It doesn't mean that this is the own Caesar, because they asked the Lord in Mark 12, verse 14, and when they were come, they said unto him, Master, we know that thou art true, and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the pattern of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So, again, and verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. So the Antichrist will similarly make another type of treaty with the Jews when it comes to power. We are all familiar with Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determining shall be put upon the desolate. The Bible says there. So the traits of dictator and antichrist. Julius Caesar was a typical one. Perfect example, you know. Then pressed Caesar onto Syria again and routed an army there that has been looting the country. He himself is a looter, you see. Now, when he went to see another country, he said they are looting the treasury. What do you do? I mean, 15,000 bars of gold, 5,000 bars of silver in the treasury without any indignation, you know, as well. Anyway, following this campaign in Syria, Caesar sent the famous message, which we all know in history, to the Senate in three words. Veni, vidi, vici, in Latin. Veni, vidi, vici, meaning, I came, I saw, I conquer, you know. So, all in history. When he returned, the Senate appointed him consul for 5 years and dictator for an unlimited period. All happening in history. He was in effect an absolute monarch, acting above the law and the constitution. We remember that this man Putin, I'm not calling him an antichrist, this Putin man, he just a trait of the status, right? You know, and we're just talking about that as well. On April 5, 2021, Madame Putin passes a law that may keep him in power until 2036. That is, I'm quoting from the news right now, on April 5 last year. Now, Caesar's portrait appeared on coins, a tradition that continues to the time of Christ. We remember in the same Mark chapter 12 where I read, in verse 16, 15 to 16, bring me a coin, or a penny rather, that I may see it, the Lord said, and he brought it, and he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they said unto him, Caesar's. See? So, we see that here. So, Caesar wore the veil of the high priest. See? That the Antichrist will go to the temple and say, I'm God, right? Caesar wore the veil of the high priest and the laurel of the triumphator. Well, a triumphator means one who triumphs. That's what it means, you know. And they used to be assigned to people like that in ancient Rome. Now, Caesar and his legions were invisible, so to say. In battle after battle, he crushed those who dared to rise against him. Don't forget, in the book of Revelation, when those 10 kings arise in Europe, and so on, West Africa, so, three of them will rise up against him, just crush them and silence them, you know. Anyway, traits of a dictator and antichrist, you know. He defeated the Pompeians of Africa, you know, and upon returning home, he ordered a great festival of victory. Very, very, you know, and look at how much money he spent. In that celebration, Caesar, he fed the citizenry at 22,000 tables. Caesar wanted everything he did to be greater and grander than was ever done before. So at the age of 56 years, Caesar equaled Alexander the Great, according to historians, at 56. That's why, although he died at 33 years old, he had no more war to conquer anymore, right? And he went on drinking orgy and poisoning himself with alcohol, you know. Anyway, so at that time, it was a matter of Greece and Rome. Julius Caesar was at that time, you know. Always been. His vanity has swelled into megalomania. We mean by that an obsession with the exercise of power at that time in his life, especially the domination of the others. Megalomania, he became that. He assumed the title of imperator, meaning a commander-in-chief or emperor of the ancient Rome. He has supreme command of the 38 legions of Rome, himself alone, you know. By virtue of his office, he had the power to and did pack the Senate, which was increased to 900 at that time. Caesar presumed to be more than a man. See? He assumed the status of a god. See? Talking about the traits of the dictator and antichrist. That's what the Antichrist will do. Say, I'm God. Talk to the Jews. Looking for a Messiah. I'm here. You know. Maybe I'll help you build your temple that I'm sitting in right now. Anyway, A statue of him carved in ivory was to become was to be born in company with the statues of the deities of Rome. You know, they have all these gods and so on. So his own was carved in ivory. Had to be among those deities of Rome. Another statue was set up in the capital among those of the seven kings. Another one was placed in the temple of Quirinus. That's a temple, an ancient temple in Rome, Roman temple and so on, that you know, with the inscription to the unconquerable God. That's right. Right there, it's down in Rome, you know, to the unconquerable God. See? In public, Caesar sat on a gilded chair, clad in purple, as a reminder that he was not as any other man. See? His mistress, Cleopatra, was now summoned back to Rome. That I already had his child. It's called Caesarion. Caesarion was his name, the illegitimate child that woman allowed, you know, had for him and so forth, that, you know. Summoned and came back with her to Rome. Our own statue was placed within the temple of Venus, beside the statue of that goddess, beside Venus. They put our own statue there, there in the temple of Venus. So Venus had a temple, then it has a statue there. They put Cleopatra statue right in that venue by the statue of Venus. So it was that the censor, the guardian of Rome's morals, established his mistress, Cleopatra, and her illegitimate child in Rome. You know, idols and things like that, you know. Many were appalled at the arrogance of Cleopatra when he came back and so forth. But there was, didn't mean anything to Julius Caesar. The mighty Caesar listened to no one, not anybody in those days, you know, dictator, Antichrist and so forth, that, you know, spirit. And yet, Caesar, upon all this evil, he has some constructive side by which he won the adulation of many people. The attacker will do the same kind of thing, you know, in a way, you know. I think about to feed the poor and things like that, you know, but at a great price, right? For example, he declared an amnesty to those who were his enemies. Veterans were rewarded with lands as they were promised. Carthage and Corinth were refunded. By encouraging encouraging migrations back to the land, he greatly reduced the bread dole. You know, the bread dole is the government program which give out free either grain or bread to the poor people, right? So he reduced that, you know. An excellent police force was set up, organized by him. Some few good things that he did, you know, but, you know. Roads and highways, to name a few, were built. He reduced slavery. He did many other things. I don't want to be numbering here, but just to see that he just did a few good things in there, you know. Caesar's most enduring achievement, as historians let us know, was his reform of the calendar. See? And here's another trait of the Antichrist, right? The Bible tells us in Daniel 7:25, if we think to change times and laws, right? Antichrist will do it. You start change the calendar. You know, after that, you know. So the Roman calendar had, before that time, 355 days, which is more than 10 days shorter of the true length of the year, right? 365, right? So Caesar secured information on the true length of the year from astronomers in Alexandria. In that time, Alexandria was the seat of knowledge at that time, you know, in Egypt, you know. So the astronomers in India had to get the exact number of days in the year and so on, that, you know, and they changed that. So the calendar was to be 365 days long with a leap year interpolated every 4 years, like we know today. And in honor of him, the seventh month of the year, beginning from January, is now called July. That's what you call it July from. It's from Julius Caesar. Because the one who invented that thing, you know. So that's why you call July the seventh year from. Now, Bible says that attacker will think to change times and laws. Daniel 7:25. Trace of the dictator and an Antichrist. Interestingly, another dictator, 666 years later, after that change of calendar, Muhammad in 662 AD made the Hijra, as we all know it, you know, and that began the Muhammadan calendar too. See? So, now, just a summary tonight of just what happened that. So we see that Caesar's 260 days were drawing to a close now, coming to the close of the end of himself and so on. And the Bible says the Antichrist will come to his end now. Nobody will help him, right? So what the Bible says, the same thing happened to this guy, you know. So the days were getting close on him. He became an object of jealousy and suspicion in Rome. And what happened? A cabal was formed to murder him. Although some 60 men were involved in this assassination, Caesar never got a wind of it. What happened? He had become so obsessed with his omnipotence, if you want, that he had dismissed his bodyguard a month before the assassination. You think it's invisible, right? He let go his bodyguard and so on, that, you know. So a month before the assassination. Now, which is the Senate was to meet on March 15, 44 BC. That was called the Ides of March, right? They were to meet on March 15, 44 BC. So his wife had a dream and warned him, don't go there. But what happened? He had a friend called Brutus. The Senate sent Brutus to go and convince him to come. So he headed out there against the wife's dream. On his way, there was a soothsayer and warned him, beware of the Ides of March. Caesar said, well, we already, the Ides of March is here, has come, it's today. Then the man warned him, but it's not passed yet. So he went in there, and what happened to him? Let me just read that and close with that. See, the trace of a dictator and an Antichrist. So, and what happened? So when he got there, as soon as Caesar was seated in the portico, they call it, the conspirators gathered around him and drew concealed daggers. Caesar took 23 wounds without uttering a single word. Now, until when he turned around, he saw his friend was among them, Peter was among them. Then he said, you too, my child, then he died. He was surprised that Brutus would be there, you know. Say, you too, among them, that's why he died. He took 23 wounds, he didn't even utter, he didn't even cry, he didn't say anything until he turned around. He saw Brutus, you too, my child, died. Anyway, most of the conspirators, including Brutus, were killed later anyway, shortly after that. Now, Mark Antony was first in line now to rule. Himself, another guy called Lepidus and Octavian, they are still there now, divided the kingdom among themselves. So you have Mark Antony, you have Lepidus, you have Octavian, three of them by the empire among themselves, the republic among themselves, you know. So then, Mark Antony, he got into trouble with Cleopatra. He got caught, she bewitched him too, you know, and she became his mistress. Don't even laugh at what happened to Julius Caesar. He didn't lie anything, you know. So anyway, he was infatuated with the bewitchery of Cleopatra, and it was his undoing too, you know. In 32 BC, Octavian now induced the Senate to depose Mark Antony from command. He was the one in line, so to depose him, Octavian induced the Senate to depose him. Mark Antony with Cleopatra now they, you know, they are out of glove, right? She is very powerful too. So so there was a war between Mark Antony together with Cleopatra and Octavian. And in the middle of that battle, look at this wicked woman. She wants her own thing, right? In the middle of the battle, she is out of glove with Mark Antony, right? Now fighting Octavian. Now in the middle of that battle, she now turned against Mark Antony. With 60 ships, you know. Now, Mark Antony didn't tell his army what is what's happening, you know. So, and he just commit, you know. So he was thinking in the battle, I think they moved to Alexander and so on. There, Octavian pursued them. So can you see the confusion and so on? So, Mark Antony was thinking that Cleopatra has committed suicide because they were now etched in Alexandria and so on. So, he just now wanted to commit suicide, but he didn't go through. He lingered on for a little while, you know. Then after all, then they because he already wounded himself, I think they now brought him before Cleopatra, and then he died. Now, Octavian now wants to say that look, Cleopatra thought that Octavian wants to celebrate the victory, right? So he wanted to make Cleopatra the trophy of war that he just won and so on. When Cleopatra got a wind of that, so he committed suicide himself. Mm-hmm. Rather than being destroyed in the city of Rome and so on, so he committed suicide. What happened was that he allowed them to smuggle, I think it's a viper or a snake of some type, and he beat her and he died of that poison and so on, that, you know. So, and so now Octavian was free to rule the empire. So in 27 BC, the Senate gave him the title of Augustus. Augustus means majestic, you know. So that year dated the beginning of the Roman Empire, 27 BC, you know. Augustus sat on his throne in the finishing of this night, master of a mighty empire. He little knew that in one of his provinces, Judea of Palestine, some 33 years later, the true king, Christ the king, will be born. He didn't know that, you know, out of Nazareth, Jesus out of Nazareth will be born. So the empire of Augustus was doomed to fail anyway, but the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ was destined to endure forever. Just like the Antichrist, at the end of his 42-month reign, in Daniel 7:26, so his empire is due to fail, right? But the Antichrist, in Daniel 7:26, what about to say? But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So like I'm saying, just in summary, yeah, since our kingdom will end and so on, but the kingdom of our Lord Jesus will never end. Nebuchadnezzar himself, before his conversion, one of the greatest conversions in the whole Bible, probably more powerful than even Saul of Tarsus and so on, you know. This is a guy that born in Jerusalem, that took the best promising children of Judah, you know, Daniel and the rest of them to captivity and so on. But providence and divine providence, when he repented, one of the greatest repentance in the Bible and so on. Anyway, here is what he said at one time, you know, of the kingdom of God's kingdom, Daniel chapter 4, verse 3. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Even the book of Psalms, David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, Psalm 145 verse 13, thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Wonderful Jesus, our Lord, never leave his people out. John 14 says, if I go away, I will come again. And it is written to myself that where I gather you may be also. All over the Bible and so on. He that overcometh, as I also overcame, shall rule with me. Walk with me in white. He said in one place and so on, that you know. So in the epistle we are told last scripture here before we go to prayer. 2 Peter 1. Believe about 10 and so on, that you know. Last thing. Brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, amen. Christian, give diligence, not that to play around church and so on, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Look at what happened in verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a blessing, what a promise. And we know he is faithful as promised, also we do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for this grace wherein we stand. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, standing unmovable, unshakable, and nothing of a shaky mind can ever touch us, sir. As we hold up God, you know, his word abiding in us. We are abiding in him, and his word abiding in us. And we are able to ask whatever we want, and he shall give it to us.
Amen.
So we thank you tonight, Lord, telling us history and what shall be hereafter, you know, what shall come to pass shortly. Shortly come to pass, these things are so on. You foretide them in history, allow them to foretide in history. So we thank you for making us to live in this time. Time we are kings and prophets, the heart of it, some of them prophesy of it, and they were wondering unto who are these people listening. The Holy Ghost said, not unto you write this, unto a people that shall come, and we are that generation that see the coming of the Lord. How do we know? By so many signs that he gave us the roadmap prophetically, Matthew 24, Luke 21, gave us all that you know that you know a hint of what shall be. So we thank you tonight. So help us to make our calling and election sure in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know that greater are you who is in us than he that is in the world. With you in us, what is that devil? Who is he? You know, it's a defeated foe.
Yeah.
I just that your children will continue to understand this truth. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ever power that Satan has is the one that is given to him through doubt or unbelief. That's what he has. So, but Lord, the Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we walk, but we are kings and priests, not ordained by man, ordained by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So we thank you, Father. Help us to keep our eyes open. And we know, O Lord God, through you in this life, we are more than conquerors. Through you that loved us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.